Welcome to yet another exciting installment of Live Free Austin. LiveFreeAustinRadio.com is the website where you can find the podcast from previous episodes. We've been rocking and rolling, got a lot of good content out there, lots of great interviews, lots of good insightful information. So you definitely check that out at LiveFreeAustinRadio.com. We got a great show lined up for you today, folks. We're going to be chatting about a trip I made to California, Freedom Law School Conference, chatting with a bunch of great people. Also a run-in we had with the police state, Catherine Blash and myself, and the TSA on the way back. Some recent action from Texans for Accountable Government, a gun buyback program to counter the Austin Police Department's gun for groceries. And then we'll be joined by Gerald Salenti of the Trends Research Institute, trendsjournal.com, to interview him about what's coming up in the future and what we can expect not only across the world, but here in the United States also. So again, this is John Bush. And as always, I'm joined by Jason Rink. How you doing, Jason?
I'm good, man. It's good to have you back. I had to sort of pinch hit. Came in here last week, and we had a great show, but yeah. I missed you. Missed looking at your face, man.
Oh,
and
that's sweet,
and
dude.
You don't have the goatee anymore,
no.
So I do miss that. But yeah, you were out there in California with some tried and true radicals, Freedom
yeah.
Law School,
yeah.
Talking about what income taxes and the oppressive police state. What
sure.
up? What
All
happened
sorts
with that?
Of stuff. Yeah, it was a great event. It's Freedom Law School, livefreenow.org is their website. And it's really involved with the tax honesty movement. And there was a lot of old tax freedom fighters there. That have been battling against the coercive income tax for quite some time. I got to meet Mr. Joe Bannister, who's actually an ex-IRS agent towards the end of the 90s, I believe. He was a gun-carrying IRS agent that would carry out raids on people who would not pay their income tax, who would either protest them or who would simply not file, or a lot of the folks that use the argument that there's no liability or no requirement to file in the actual code. So it was great to meet him. And I got a great interview with him that we're going to be doing through the Foundation for a Free Society, myfreesociety.com. It's one of the show sponsors. Definitely check that out. But he was a real soft-talking gentleman, very intelligent, very intellectual. I could see the compassion in him. He holds his faith real dear to his heart. And he was one of those people. This is a common theme that I saw at the Freedom Law School. He's one of these people that set the fear aside, set the risks aside, and decided to stand up with his integrity, you know, and it put him at a lot of risk. He ended up being having charges filed against him for conspiracy to defraud the federal government,
right.
Three tax evasion, willful failure to file as well. But really, it was an inspiration because he had the integrity to stand up, and now he's doing the opposite of what he used to be doing. Now he's assisting and putting out information and encouraging people to educate themselves about the reality. Hopefully, we'll be having him on this show pretty soon here. I know you've been a fan of his for a while.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, the tax honesty movement's interesting. You know, you've got a lot of people who talk about whether or not there was, I believe, the 14th Amendment was properly ratified, and whether or not the federal income tax is voluntary, but of course they enforce it with armed agents, which,
sure.
you know, sort of makes you comply real fast. But, you know, so the income tax has always been a subject of controversy. When it was introduced, it was a subject of controversy. A lot mm-hmm. of people don't realize. I believe mm-hmm. it was supposed to be a temporary tax at that time. Mm-hmm. It was only going to be 1%, taxed only the rich. You yeah. know, you've heard that before. And so, you know, again, we're always trying to get out the unapproved opinions here that you're not hearing anywhere else. Because what? In a free society, we have to dialogue about these things. We have to get the information out there. Do your homework. We do our homework. Mm-hmm. You come to your own conclusions. But we, as a society, we can't grow and we can't prosper if we just silence the debate.
Sure.
And so at Freedom Law School, you had a lot of people who've been seeing the encroachment of the federal government mm-hmm. for decades and decades mm-hmm. and probably a lot of wisdom there. So
yep.
when you were coming back from that trip, you guys had a little run-in with the TSA. I talked about this briefly last week, but what happened there?
Well, our flights were paid bought, so we didn't plan to go through that particular airport. We didn't know that they had body scanners. And unfortunately, on the way there, we saw the scanners. They were shut down. People were at lunch. And on the way back, we knew that we were going to have to deal with scanners. And my girlfriend, Catherine, just so happens to be pregnant. We're having a baby.
Listen to that.
Wow. So there's a big breaking news.
A little
news.
Radical in the making.
You heard it here first.
Breaking news.
So that's definitely a blessing, and now she has even more reason, not that there wasn't enough reason before to not go through the body scanner, but we plan to go ahead and have 3.5 hours We showed up early. We knew that we were going to flex our rights and insist that our right to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures was not violated. And she, unfortunately, got asked to go through the body scanner. I sneaked by through the metal detector. We're both in the metal detector line. But she got pulled randomly, supposedly, and was asked to go through the body scanner. And, of course, she refused. They didn't know what to do with her. She ended up standing there, just riding the line for about 10, 20 minutes, talking to the people. We went ahead and printed out the Fourth Amendment and the California version of the Fourth Amendment and also a sexual assault law. But we learned, as we learn all too often, that just because your rights are enumerated does not necessarily mean that state agents are going to respect them. So somebody asked if she wanted to talk to a police officer. She said, yeah, sure, anything to help. The police came and spoke with her. She went toe-to-toe with them about the constitutionality. Eventually, I came back from the other side. I was recording her from that side and informing the police and the agents that I don't feel comfortable having my girlfriend out of my sight. You know, you guys have a nasty reputation, especially around the TSA. So I ended up on the other side of the checkpoint with her. And then for the next hour and a half, we were negotiating, working our way up the ladder of TSA security till finally we reached the actual director of security at the airport. I think we had to pull him from his home because they kept on saying, like, yeah, he's 10 minutes out. He's 5 minutes out. He's 2 minutes out. And unfortunately, it was just a really sad reassurance that the American public is largely cowards and that these public employees who get paid with stolen money, they are unwilling to challenge the status quo, even to stand up for the rights of a young woman because they don't want to lose their job. Jobs are slim pickings. So it ended up we were trying to compromise and say, look, we'll go through this pat down as long as you don't put the hands inside of the pants, which they do, or you don't run your hands up the inner thigh all the way up to the what they said was they go all the way up until they hit the torso, which doesn't even make sense. They definitely go to your junk or your crotch. And so we also wanted to record it. And unfortunately, they said, we'll let you record it. But the other two things, there's no budging at all. So we sat down there and tried to decide what we were going to do. And we decided, I personally made a New Year's resolution that I would no longer voluntarily and willingly subject myself to immoral, unconstitutional, tyrannical actions. And this was one where we had the opportunity. It was going to be inconvenient, and it was. We ended up having to take a train home and didn't get back till Thursday night as opposed to Monday night.
You were kind of wishing for those high-speed trains at that point.
Oh, yeah, that Barry Obama, the high-speed smart growth trains that could connect the whole country. No need for an automobile.
That's right.
Yeah, so at that point, we just made the decision that we're not going to allow convenience to subject us to this tyranny. And we had Michael Bolton of the 10th Amendment Center, 10thamendmentcenter.com, that he came and picked us up. We ended up hanging out a couple extra days in L.A., which wasn't too big of a loss, and went home. Cost a little bit of extra money on the train, as well as Kat missed a couple days of work, and we had to pay the dog sitters more. So I'm really grateful to say that we put a word out to the Liberty community, and people donated several $100s, so we were able to overcome those extra costs. So
nice.
It's a Excellent. Really good encouragement that the community will stand up. Even if you put yourself at risk or you inconvenience yourself, don't let that be a deterrent from you standing up and flexing your rights.
You know, I believe the Dead Kennedys had a song or an album called Give Me Convenience or Give Me Death, you know, about American culture.
That's great.
And isn't that the truth, man?
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Like, you know, Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death.
Yeah.
But the American people say, give me convenience or give me death.
Yep.
Allow me to stay in my comfort zone. Allow me to stay ignorant. Allow me to believe the best about my country and the best about my leaders and the best about my media.
Mm-hmm.
Allow me to believe that I still live in a constitutional republic with a representative government.
Mm-hmm.
And give me my American idol. And everything will be okay. Right. So
yeah,
it's give me convenience or give me death in this nation. And the truth of the matter is you guys tied up a lot of time, a lot of resources to do what? To assert your constitutional rights.
To
that
be free.
That because of 9/11 and because of what happened, that's what justifies mm-hmm. the violation of the Fourth Amendment. And it's what justifies a lot of the police state measures that we've seen marched out over the last 10 years.
Yep. And they all use the argument, you don't have the right to fly. You don't have the right to fly. Well, we do have a Fourth Amendment right, and there's no airliner exclusion in the Fourth Amendment. It's all just a big farce. I even told one of the police officers, he was saying, I said, I think this is unreasonable. It's an unreasonable search. because that the threat isn't as prevalent. It's not as large as the Department of Homeland Security would have us believe it is. And then I went on to tell him about Kurt Haskell. And I said, well, you know, here you have an example of a state agent who escorted Kurt Haskell, the underwear bomber, through security without having a passport. And it was later said in a congressional hearing that this was a representative of the Department of State. And so this guy's like, Wait, hold on. And I was trying to make that argument like there's no threat, but he took it like I was trying to say, see, they let this guy go through, right. So why can't you let this guy through?
Well, you know, that you're probably going to have difficulty educating in that sense, you know, in that circumstance.
Sure,
but
sure.
You try to do everything you can. I mean, again, most of these people are just going about their merry way, trying to make a paycheck, and they've got their own little kingdom of power there.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't want to let it go. That's right. Well, listen, we are going into a break, but when we get on the other side, we want to talk about the gun buyback and really the Second Amendment and the idea, you know, we just in the State House, there's this idea about whether or not people should be able to carry guns on campuses, and are guns dangerous? Do guns kill people, or do people kill people? I mean, what's the deal? So there was an interesting gun buyback going on here in the Austin area last week, and John Bush was involved in that. And I want to let him talk about that. This is Live Free Austin, livefreeaustinradio.com. And this is John Bush and Jason Rink. And stick around. Don't worry about a thing. Cause every little thing gonna be all right.
Are you tired of big government treading on your liberty? Well, so are we. We're Brave New Books, the fiercest independent bookstore in Austin. Located a block south of UT Austin, Brave New Books not only carries the information you need to be ahead of the curve, but we also have water filters, storable food, and superfoods that help you put your health back into your own hands. Contact us at 480-2503, at bravenewbookstore.com, or stop by at 1904 Guadalupe Street.
Welcome back to the show, Live Free Austin Radio. LiveFreeAustinRadio.com is the website. We've been chatting about the wonderful TSA.
I love my safety and the TSA that provides it.
That's right. I would be unsafe without the TSA. In fact, I probably would have already passed away if it was not for the TSA and the government keeping me safe. Well, you know what actually does keep people safe and keep communities safe and keep families safe and
big
keep
government
countries safe is the Department of Homeland Security. No, it's whenever we put firearms in the hands of peaceful, law-abiding citizens, time and time again, studies have shown all across the country, all across the world for that matter, there's a dramatic reduction in the instance of crime, especially violent crime, but property crime as well. And of course, this is a big debate that's been going on since our nation's founding, but really even more so these days. And there's a book out by John Lott called More Guns, Less Crime. And he just really lays the case out on how more guns in the hands of peaceful, law-abiding citizens actually does make a lot less crime. So here in Austin, we have a mentality that's different to that. Unfortunately, the Austin Police Department held their second Guns for Groceries buyback program.
Such a nice name.
Sure, sure.
Guns for Groceries.
Yeah, it's got a nice ring to it. And it doesn't even make sense. A gun buyback would infer that they sold you the guns in the first place. But, of course, we know that the government doesn't want people to be armed. So basically how it works is they encourage people to trade in their firearms for a $100 gift card to go buy groceries, or a $200 gift card if they're trading in what I now call sporting rifles, because I learned the assault rifle term came from the Brady campaign. It's a piece of propaganda. Sporting rifles, they give you $200 for pistols, shotguns, or single rifles. They give you $100. So we decided, a lot of activists here in town, other organizations like Texans for Accountable Government, they all got together and started what was called the Guns for Cash counter program to outbid the police officers in their quest to destroy firearms and keep them out of the hands of peaceful, law-abiding citizens. We showed up and we offered $110 cash for the pistols, rifles, and shotguns, and $220 for the sporting rifles, and we managed to acquire about 24 firearms, and the plan is to put those, rather than destroy them, put them in the hands of peaceful, law-abiding citizens. We're going to do a screening process, of course, and make sure that they're lawfully allowed to carry firearms. There's going to be a mandatory firearms instruction and safety course as well, and we're going to arm those who can't afford or can't get their hands on firearms because of economic reasons in exchange for some community service. So we're giving back to the community in multiple ways, and we think it's a wonderful program. It was a great success, got a lot of really good media coverage, and we're getting the message out there again that firearms in the hands of peaceful, law-abiding citizens keeps your family and your community safe.
You know, what is it with the government wanting to take perfectly good things and destroying them and giving you money? Like, they have the cash for clunkers, right? Bring your perfectly good car in here. We'll give you cash. It will destroy it.
It's good for the environment, Rink. Come on.
Is this part of the stimulus package that's promoted by, like, the gun manufacturers lobby? How does this work? Because get rid of the old guns. I don't know. But why is that? It's like, honestly, that's kind of a good analogy for what government does. Is they spend money and destroy things. Mm-hmm. And, I think it's encapsulated right there. Mm-hmm. You know, and John Lott, with his book, More Guns, Less Crime, I know that is based on, facts and statistics and reason. But where can somebody find a good book that just appeals to the emotion to prove that guns actually are the problem? There's probably a lot of that out there, right?
Sure.
I mean, I don't want any facts in the way. I don't want any statistics. I just want anecdotal evidence and emotional stories to get me to be scared about guns.
Yeah, that's right.
And so, the Second Amendment and the First Amendment, I mean, those are like the key. You can't say they're the key amendments. Like, it's like trying to pick your favorite commandment or trying to pick your favorite finger, But it's like they're there and they're there for a reason. And no matter how government wants to try to twist and wrest these rights. Yeah. Around and say, well, you got a right, but we can regulate the crap out of it.
Sure.
We've got to be on guard.
Yeah.
And so this whole gun issue is really bubbling up, and it seems like the whole never let a crisis go to waste is always leveraged when it comes to the gun issue. Anything terrible happens with guns.
Virginia Tech.
Yeah. And then
Congresswoman Giffords.
Yeah. And then here in Austin, there was that scare. That was months ago on UT campus.
Yeah, they asked me about that. I was interviewed by the Daily Texan, and they said, well, isn't it ironic that John Lott was on campus the same day that this man brought an assault rifle onto campus? And I said, yeah, it is ironic, because if it wasn't a victim disarmament zone, then criminals would have less of an inclination to go and have shooting rampages. And that's one of the things that John Lott discusses. He gets in the head of these psycho killers that go, first of all, a lot of them are on serotonin reuptake inhibitors and antidepressants, which cause a lot of this action, or at least they make people capable of that type of thing. But they want to get out there. They want to get the kill count as high as they possibly can. Perhaps they were neglected as a child and they want the attention now. That's a common reoccurring psychological profile of a lot of these big school shooters. So what better place to accomplish that goal and to fulfill your crazy whatever you got going in your head than a public university with countless people that you know for a fact are disarmed? And that's why I'm proud that the Texas legislature has a bill. They've tried to push it in the past that would allow concealed CHL carry who have licenses to carry on campus. And of course, they've been shown to be like 4,000 times less likely to commit a crime. So we think that this bill will definitely, it seems like it's going to take away this victim disarmament zone. And there's a lot of sponsors on it and stuff like that. So that's something we've been covering here on the show in the past.
What were they insinuating about the irony of John Lott being in town? Are they like saying there's like an inside job by John Lott or something?
Said the same thing about the opposite. That's inside jobs all over the place.
Yeah, it is. You never know who to believe here. Sure. It's all crazy. But yeah, and this thing with guns on campus, I mean, the argument, guns anywhere, really, but the arguments always are very hollow, and I don't want to continue to beat this dead horse. But, they say, don't you think that would increase the incident on campus? Well, wait. Obviously, taking the guns away doesn't prevent the incidents from happening.
Look at the status quo. Yeah.
Exactly. And then the idea that just the suggestion that somebody might have a concealed firearm is a deterrent. Nobody actually has to exercise their right. Mm-hmm. Just the fact that it could be present there.
Sure.
That somebody's skilled in a firearm. Mm-hmm. And so we here at Live Free Austin, we say guns galore in the hands of competent individuals.
Peaceful, responsible and, people.
Yeah, and we want to empower people to protect themselves, protect their property, because when you get right down to it, this nation was founded, and the belief system that drove this free society had to do with protecting my personal rights and my property rights. Mm-hmm. Creating a system of government that protected that, and, mm-hmm. and obviously we've seen that's been kind of a failure.
Womp, 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 womp.
Try again. And, you know, but our personal rights and our property rights, that's the foundation of Definitely. A free society.
Yep.
Is knowing what our rights are, mm-hmm. knowing how to exercise our rights, and really communicating those rights to other people, because we as the citizenry, we've got to get together and make sure that our neighbors know what their rights are,
sure.
and how we can come together as a community and a society to protect mm-hmm. one another and to look out for one another.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need government police state workers in every corner of our business to help us be free and be prosperous mm-hmm. and be protected. I don't think so. Do you think so, John?
It does the exact opposite. And it's important to note that a lot of the gun control laws actually came up in order to oppress people. Most of them sprung up after the slaves were freed to make sure that they wouldn't revolt against their slave masters. And it's interesting, one of the news stories, My Fox Austin, they really covered our talking points very well the night before and then the day after. And for the opposition, none of the law enforcement, none of the police officers, APD, wanted to come on and speak in opposition to our Guns for Cash counter program. So they got Nelson Linder, the head of the NAACP. And his whole argument was, we need to get these guns out of troubled communities, is what he said. And Foti, the guy that interviewed me, informed me that he was going to be interviewing him, and that was the position that that he was going to take. So I said, and this got into the interview, I said, I would hope the NAACP would take a lesson from the civil rights movement and the Black Panther Party, because it's those movements, whenever they realized that the police officers weren't protecting their rights, in fact, they were doing the opposite. They were violating the rights of the people. They armed themselves, and they found out that they had safer communities. So how does Nelson Linder reply? He says, yeah, you know, this John Bush guy, he just seems like he's one of those know-it-alls about African Americans, and he needs to look at history, and he would find that the Black Panther Party was peaceful and that they were primarily about public education. So I never said that they were not peaceful. I said that they armed themselves, and you could bet your bottom dollar that the police officers in the communities backed off from violating their rights. So I would hope that the NAACP nowadays would grow a spine and learn that it's gun control and victim disarmament that leads to most of the oppression that they're facing in their communities.
Yeah, and I've come up with a good slogan. I just came up with it. Buy a piece for peace.
There you go. Very nice.
I want a bumper sticker.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, is the reason that there's less crime is because the playing field is equalized.
That's right.
And again, criminals will get guns whether or not they're legal.
And they don't respect the law.
They don't care. So that's the issue. Well, listen, we have an amazing second half of the show coming up, because we've got this guy, Gerald Celente, from thetrendsjournal.com, the Trends Research Institute. Gerald Celente has been forecasting trends in the United States and worldwide for decades. And he's going to come on and he's going to talk about what's going on in the Middle East, what's going on in America, what we see ahead of us regarding the economy, what we see coming down the road as far as foreign policy and wars and just all sorts of things. His predictions have been spot on in the past. What do you think he's got in store for 2011? Well, we're about to find out. Stick around. Gerald Celente, this is Jason Rink and John Bush, and this is Live Free Austin. Welcome back. This is Live Free Austin, livefreeaustinradio.com. As always, bringing you the news, views, and tools you can use to live a more free and prosperous life. Joining us today, we have Mr. Gerald Celente. He is the publisher of the Trends Journal, and you can check out this publication at trendsresearch.com. Mr. Celente has been doing this work for in excess of 20 years, I believe, and the forecasting that the Trends Research Institute does has been so spot on many times, it's scary. Mm-hmm. And many of the things that we're seeing right now going on in America and across the world, when you look at the Trends Research Journal, you are going to see a lot of those things have been echoed for the last couple of years. So thank you for joining us today, Mr. Salenti.
Oh, thank you, Jason and John.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things that we wanted to chat about with you, of course, which is very present in the recent Trends Journal, as well as the ones of the past, is about the civil unrest that we see taking place. Much of it is about in Wisconsin, of course, you have the public employees unions fighting over collective bargaining. In Western Europe and England, we've seen trouble over public universities. So this is a libertarian minded show. So my question is, are we seeing any genuine libertarian revolutions out there where they're actually questioning the need for the state to provide these services in the first place? Or is a lot of this just fighting over stolen money?
Well, yeah, it's really one of my sayings is that when the money stops flowing down to the man on the street, the blood starts flowing in the streets. And that's what we're seeing here. This is a dollar issue. It's a money issue. And by the way, we've been at this actually for 30 years, and the Journal's been just celebrated our 20th year. And when we made these forecasts, as you pointed out, they happened. We made them before these things happened. So let's go back to the autumn edition, and the headline read, "Off with Their Heads 2.0." And it's the same situation around the world. This has nothing to do with democracy, autocracies, monarchies. It has to do with the bottom line. And the bottom line is this. You have a lot of unemployed young people that are really angry. You are looking at 50% unemployment rates throughout Europe and the Middle East and North Africa. And you figure it out. You know, you're in your late teens, late 20s, hormones raging, and you're raging mad because all the money is staying at the top and nothing's floating down to you. It's corruption. You can't get a job. You have a university degree in worthlessness. It's not like the old feudal days of the kings and the queens of commerce and their peasantry not knowing what's going on. The peasants are hip to the deal. And the deal is this. They have no money. They have no future. Prices, food prices are at all-time highs. And the people at the top keep taking more and they keep getting less. So it's simple. It's revolt. It's the beginning of the first great war of the 21st century. And it's not only in North Africa and the Middle East. Look what happened this past year in Europe. You saw over a million people take to the streets in protest of austerity measures. Isn't that a lovely word? Yeah, here's some austerity measures for you. You live in Ireland. We're going to lower the minimum wage. You're not making anything now. Guess what? You're going to make 12% less. Oh, and you know those services you were getting? We're going to cut those. And the ones we're going to offer, you're going to pay more. And boy, we're going to hit you on every violation that you could imagine. Mm. We're going to raise the price on those. We're going to cut pensions and benefits. And we're going to increase the retirement age until after you die. How's that? Oh, one more thing. We're going to increase value-added taxes across the board.
Right.
So everything that you pay, you got to pay more for.
Well, and so let me just take a wild guess. You're not one of these people that thinks that we've seen the worst of the recession and that the global economy is recovering because of Ben Bernanke and the Federal Reserve's swift dodging of the bullet.
Of course not. You know, that was this is all tied together. Go back to 2008 when it started under Bush with this TARP baloney.
Right.
Too big to fail. Who made this one up? You know, what am I, 6 years old? The Goldman gang can't go under. You know, the Bank of America bandits can't take a loss. The Citigroup criminals aren't allowed to lose any dough. And that's what the anger is overseas, because the people are hip. Mm-hmm. Because I mentioned all those austerity measures. Why? We have to save the banks. 40 criminals out there made bad bets. Banks and hedge funds and private equity groups in Ireland. And we got to cover their losses. So get to work.
Yeah.
And that's what the anger is. And I just heard Bernanke, by the way, this past week say that we're going to see this recovery is going to happen. First, he says, without more stimulus. without more of this printing digital money, not worth the paper it's not printed on. And then he comes out and says, well, we may have to do some more. If I had a track record as bad as Ben Bernanke's, I would have been laughed out of business 30 years ago. Yeah. But the white shoe boys, the Harvard, Princeton, Yale, bullets, bombs, and banks, the poison ivy leaguers, they could get away with murder.
Mm-hmm.
Literally.
Yep.
Literally.
And they do.
And they do. And that's what the anger is. Am I angry? You bet I am. I break my back working. I work till all hours to learn and write and do what I have to do to make our subscribers feel that they've gotten their money's worth. I don't like giving my money to criminals and being forced to take out of my pocket because some white shoe boy or some suck up in the White House or secretary of this or that says, Mr. Salenti, this is for your own good. I'm not a jerk. I'm not 6 years old. Just like we're sending money now to Egypt. We're going to instill democracy over there. I mean, come on. You're taking my money to give it to your buddies to go do some more deals. It's called foreign aid.
Yep.
It's so foreign, none of us ever see it.
You mentioned we're on a conservative talk radio network, and a lot of people forget that the bailouts did, in fact, start with Bush. You talk a lot about people finally seeing through this phony left-right divide. And also you mentioned a progressive libertarian alliance. What is that going to look like, and what are the common issues going to be that people can unite behind?
Well, just to start off, I'm a political atheist. You know, I don't believe in, political fairy tales. Anybody wants to believe in their political gods, knock yourself out, I worked up in Albany. I was the assistant to the secretary of the New York State Senate. I ran campaigns, political campaigns in Westchester County as a young man. I know what it looks like. I was in D.C. throughout most of the 70s as a government affairs specialist. So I understand what this whole game is. So I don't believe in this kind of nonsense. A progressive. I was on Judge Andrew Napolitano's show, one of the men in the media that I really respect, and I go on a lot of shows. And he had on Ralph Nader and Ron Paul. Mm-hmm. He told me it was one of the greatest responses he got from any of his shows. And I would see that kind of a ticket. Ralph Nader? Yeah. Yeah, Ralph Nader. You guess what? If you're throwing poison in my water, I don't like
it. That's right.
You know, if there's poison in my food, it's not for me. Listen, I'm Italian. I know what good food is. Olive Garden's not Italian. I don't buy corporate food. Look, remember that egg place that was sending out, what, a half a billion eggs they had a recall?
Right.
Or Auschwitz farms over there, chicken coop concentration camps? Yeah, I don't want the game rigged for the bigs. I want an even playing field. And that's what America's supposed to be, not this too-big-to-fail baloney. And then I'm all in favor of Ron Paul. Bring home the troops. The military in this country is no more different than another arm of an inefficient government. Again, you can't get away with this baloney. It's the same story all the time. More men, more time, more money.
Yeah.
They're losers, man.
Yeah.
Nobody will say it. I mean, look, this is the American military that defeated the Germans at the Battle of the Bulge, planted the American flag to the heart of the Japanese in the South Pacific, and they can't beat a bunch of guys with no shoes on and light arms in Afghanistan?
Yeah, that narrative is wearing a little thin. And,
it really is.
And our resources are wearing a little thin, I think, in support of a global empire. And you make a statement, we're going into a break, but you make a statement in your recent Trends Journal, and I think you say this frequently, when people lose everything and have nothing left to lose, they lose it. And we're seeing that happening where people, the American dream and the promises that they've clung to for a long time are slipping away, and it's changing the psychology of the American people and people around the world. So we want to talk to you, see where you think things are going. Your recent issue says History of the Future, Top 11 Trends of 2011. We'd like to talk a little bit more about that and any possible solutions that maybe you see. The political system is not the answer. Well, what is? So this is Jason Rink and John Bush. We're here with Mr. Gerald Salenti. And stick with us till after the break as we explore this a little bit further.
Attention, Big Talker listeners. Want to get the real information on the agenda behind the Obama administration's policies? Brave New Books, Austin's own fiercely independent bookstore, has the resources you need to understand the Federal Reserve, international banking, and the forces behind President Obama. Brave New Books is located a block south of UT at 1904 Guadalupe Street. Contact us at 480-2503 or at bravenewbookstore.com.
More energy, stronger immune power, improved sense of well-being. How many supplements have you heard boast of these benefits? The team behind Centrition believes that supplements should over-deliver on their promises. And Centrition does just that. Centrition utilizes the ancient healing wisdom of Chinese medicine in conjunction with the science of modern nutrition. Adaptogenic herbs serve as the healing component, and organic hemp protein and greens and superfoods act as a balanced nutrient base. Plus, Centrition tastes great in just water. This powder supplement is everything you'd want in a product, and it's all natural. Visit Centrition.com to order yours or call 1-866-497-7436. After you use Centrition, you'll believe in supplements again.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Live Free Austin radio show every Saturday from 2 to 3 p.m. Check out livefreeaustinradio.com for all the podcasts of our previous shows and some of the information that we're chatting about on this program. We're chatting with the publisher of the Trends Journal at the Trends Research Institute. It's trendsjournal.com. That's Mr. Jared Salenti. And he's got some great information, some wonderful insights, and I'm telling you, those Americans that think that we are exempt from this type of unrest that's going on across the country, you got another thing coming to you. But here's a trend that I'm curious about. A lot of people complain and complain and complain about government. And, you know, we find that in many instances in the United States, we're paying for our own oppression through coercive taxes, primarily the income tax. Do you see tax revolts in the United States as something coming up in the near future?
Yes, John, we do, and the reason is that, you know, people can't keep affording to keep paying more as the government keeps screwing up more, and they keep coming back to the people to bail them out. And by the way, this is a forecast we made in the Trends Journal. It was one of the top trends that we came out with in 2007, before the Tea Parties even happened. We said the tax revolts would begin throughout the United States. I mean, listen to this scheme. How's this one? You own a house or a building, and when the real estate market was really zooming up in the first several years of 2000 to 2006, they kept raising your real estate taxes because the valuations were going up. Well, now they're down over 30% nationwide. How come they didn't drop 30%? Oh, no, we don't play that game anymore. We're going to change the rules. Here's the rule. They're going to go up again, even though the valuation went down. Who can make this stuff up? You know, people complain about Obama. They say, oh, this guy's a communist, a socialist, a Marxist. No, he's not. Socialism's everybody gets an equal deal. The merger of state and corporate powers is called fascism.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And fascism has come to America. Gone through the airports lately? You get patted down by some, you know, this, by the way, this is empire decline. You get the lowest common denominator of the population. You pay them the least amount of money, and they're the ones that harass you the most.
Yeah.
Because they have nothing else going on in their lives. So it's the goon squads out in Egypt beating the people, or in Libya. It's the same thing in here. They keep the people under control. Keep them under submission. What do we have, Janet Napolitano, that czarette of the Homeland Security, telling people to rat you out if you see something amiss at Walmart or in the parking lot? And the only thing missing in that video that I saw on YouTube is a heavy German accent.
Right. Yeah, and that's the thing is, you know, we're seeing these flashpoints in American culture. The TSA is one of those flashpoints that people are saying, you know what, this is not going to work. Mm-hmm. And we are seeing some pushback, and I think the tax revolts, and, you know, people are taxed enough already. But at the same time, the confusion comes because there's sort of a controlled opposition. The media and the establishment Republicans are trying to turn this Tea Party vibe, you know, they're trying to keep it under control. Mm-hmm. And so we really see a power struggle going on between, you know, we the people and the media establishment and the state and all of that. So, I mean, do you think and are you optimistic for the Tea Party movement and what's been going
on
there?
Not the Tea Party, because you pointed out it's been hijacked by the Republican Party. And we need a new third party. You know, why do these revolts happen in North Africa and Middle East? Because there's no other government there, so the people try to overthrow it. In Europe, the people are just as angry as they are here, but we live under the illusion of a democracy. Mm. They teach you this thing that you can make the change at the ballot box. Oh, yeah, go to the ballot box. I remember, you go back not long ago, 2010 elections, how historic it all would be.
That's right.
What historic. You know, and then the big one was, will there be gridlock in Washington? Yeah, will the inepts be able to get in an agreement with the incompetents? it's the Gambinos and the banana.
That's right.
You know, so you don't have that choice as long as you have the two-headed one-party system in control. So the reason the revolutions haven't happened yet in the so-called democracies are the people are still living under the illusion that they could make a change at the ballot box. Go back to 2006 or 2008, 2006, when the Republicans got thrown out of office because the Democrats wanted to end the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. Remember that one? They brought the Democrats in. Hey, those wars really slowed down, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's about, hey, let's throw the bums out and bring new bums in to replace them.
Well said.
Yeah, you know, something you mentioned in your recent Trends Journal as well is this idea of the internet. We've seen some activity where the federal government is trying to clamp down on the internet because it's the bastion of free speech, and they don't want that. And you also talk about this idea of cyber terrorism. And so we want to get your insights on, you know, I see the potential of the federal government sort of, maybe creating a crisis on the internet so that they can sort of push through their policies.
Not them.
What do you have to say about that?
You know, not them.
Yeah.
I mean,
hypothetically.
Remember the Maine.
Right.
Hey, how about that Gulf of Tonkin incident that never happened? Yeah. Hey, Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction and ties to Al-Qaeda. Yeah, of course. Isn't why would anybody believe anything the government tells them? Read my lips. No new taxes. I didn't have sex with that woman, Monica Lewinsky.
Right.
I smoked, but I didn't inhale.
Yeah.
But then you knew the guy was a phony right from there. But hey, look at him. You know, he kept going on until, you know, everybody still loves him. So of course there's going to be a false flag. And if it's not a false flag, it'll be something done to incite retaliation.
Right.
You know, can people really get angry when you send predator drones into sovereign countries and kill people that they love that were innocent? And when then they always come out and say, well, we sincerely regret killing all those people. We really didn't mean it, but hey, we're sorry. You know, yeah, big deal. You know, I mean, do the math.
Right.
Sending predator drones into Pakistan like the CIA is, and all of a sudden the CIA got in the, you know, bombing people business, and you're Pakistani, and you're one of 300,000 that live in the United States, and your entire village has been wiped out because of the wars that are being waged over there, or your family was hit by a predator drone. You think you're angry? So what we're saying is that the United States, oh, look what's going on now with Libya. They're talking about, oh, you know, we got to do something about Libya. You know, is Obama doing enough? Well, Obama doing enough? All these little chicken hawks that want more war. You know, these guys that never fought a day in their lives.
Yeah.
You know, these soccer mommies boys. You know, that grew up. They want to go get. They talk tough. Hey, does anybody care about what's going on in the Ivory Coast? No. Why not? Well, the Ivory Coast, they're killing people like crazy, but they only export cocoa. They don't cocoa beans. They don't have oil. So will there be something? Yes, you can hear the tough talk coming out now. We have to protect those Libyans. Wow, all of a sudden?
Right.
You know, so would we be in Iraq if their major export was broccoli?
Right. Yeah.
So yes, there'll be something.
Yeah.
It's coming. The Great War, the first Great War, as we predicted back in the spring of 2010, is now underway. You know how they teach you when you're a little kid? World War One began when the Archduke Ferdinand was assassinated in Sarajevo. No, it didn't, kiddies. There were flashpoints.
Right.
You're seeing the flashpoints. Tunisia, Egypt, Yemen, Bahrain, Oman, Libya, Morocco, Algeria. Then you're going to start seeing Albania, Romania, Greece,
right.
Portugal, Spain, Italy. What happens, again, as I was saying in the other when we talked earlier, the last time we talked was that when we predicted in 2008 when all of this began with these bailouts, when the bailout bubble fails, they take you to war.
Right.
You hear the baloney, all wars are fought over religion. No, they're not. They're fought over money.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what we're looking at now. The bubbles are bursting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we've been in a generational bubble economy, and we've been in a bubble empire, and all of these things are collapsing. We just have a couple of minutes, but I wanted to ask you, you know, you mentioned something about journalism 2.0. I mean, do you think we have the opportunity to do an end run around the establishment media and get the word out to the people?
Absolutely. We believe in the 20% solution. 20% of the people are in tune, they care, and they want a new direction. And you asked me about the cyber wars. Yes, we're going to see them, and they're going to try to close down the internet without a doubt. But it's up to us. It's up to us to change the course. Well, why are people believing in their leaders that have only led them to destruction? You have to start believing in yourself. You know, the motto of the Trends Journal and the Trends Research Institute is think for yourself. I don't tell people what to believe. This is the way I see it.
Yeah.
You're entitled to see it any way you want. And that's why I'm a political atheist. You want to believe what you want to believe, fine. But keep it to yourself. This is what I see. And there are a lot of people that don't believe the baloney they're being fed. And yes, we can have a new country, but we have to go back to the way things worked before and the way they worked best. And again, you need regulations and laws. It can't be a free-for-all. When did it work best? The Glass-Steagall Act was put in place. Why? In 1920, following the crash of 29. So the criminal banks couldn't pull off what they're pulling off now. We had Sherman Antitrust and Robinson Patman Acts. Why? So the money junkies couldn't grab everything for themselves. And if you wanted to open up a shop, a store, a butcher, a baker, a retailer, you could compete.
Mm-hmm.
And the playing field wouldn't be tilted for the bigs.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're doing our work to tilt it back, and we appreciate the information that you put in there. If you want to throw out the websites and places where people could reach you, Mr. Salenti?
Yes, trendsjournal.com. That's trendsjournal.com.
Great, great. Yeah, you guys got to check it out. I mean, this stuff is so insightful. It's basically the Nostradamus effect, and you can really react and get involved and, you know, plan your life accordingly, because we're going to see some civil unrest here in the United States of America. So the only thing we could do is get prepared, get active, and rebuild our communities with peace and liberty. So thank you so much for coming on the program. This is the Live Free Austin radio show. We want to thank you for tuning in. You can check us out every Saturday from 2 to 3 p.m. And also our website is livefreeaustinradio.com. So check us out next week. And as always, live free, Austin.